And I want to say to you that in every place on the face of the earth, God wants a testimony for His name. Not a large one, but a pure one. I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the powers of darkness, will not be able to overcome it. I want to say to you, wherever you're living, God wants to build a fellowship there of people who overcome Satan. Satan wants to rule in every part of the earth, but God wants to build a testimony in your place, wherever you live, which overcomes Satan. When we started our work in Bangalore in India in 1975, which is 41 years ago, there is a verse that the Lord drew our attention to, which is very relevant to what I'm saying just now, because we started building the church. We were all born again, but most of us were defeated by sin, even though we were saved. So we began to seek for victory, and as we sought for victory, we not only began to seek for victory, the Lord brought a few of us together to become a fellowship. That's how the church started over there in my home. And the Lord pointed us to the book of Malachi. Now the book of Malachi is important because it is the last message of God to the Jewish people before Jesus came. John the Baptist then prepared the way for Jesus. But Malachi, who was 300 years before Christ, was the last prophet. And what God was saying through Malachi to the Jews is, I have been with you for these 1,200 years from the days of Moses. Now I am fed up with you. I'm fed up with you because you haven't taken my word seriously. That's what he tells them. Let me read to you Malachi chapter 1. And verse 6, a son honors his father, and a servant honors his master. You say, I am your father, but where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? But you despise my name. And the priests say, how have we despised your name? Because you present defiled food on the altar. You know that you have to bring a lamb, or an ox, or a goat as an offering. So what do? You look around in your flock and you find that lame sheep. It's a bit of a nuisance for you. Let me give it as an offering. And you find that blind ox. So let me give that as an offering. Or here's a sick goat who's about to die in any case. Let me give it as an offering. They were giving as an offering to God that which was cost them nothing. They were giving the worst of that which, after they met all their needs with their sheep and ox and goats and all that, what was the useless ones? I think a lot of Christians give to God like that even today. But God was complaining about that. He said, is that how you respect me? When you give, verse 8, the blind and the lame and the sick, you pick out from your flock that which is sick and lame and blind, and you come and give it to me? And he says, if you have a governor in your state, you're in verse 8 middle, will you give a gift like that to a governor? Will you give a gift to your governor of useless stuff like that? Will you give old food to a governor if you invite him home for a meal? Would he be pleased with you? And so he says, I wish, verse 10, that there were some priests among you who would shut the gates when people bring such offerings and say, God doesn't want this. He doesn't want all this sick and blind, and why don't you give him the best? You know, that's what the Lord is saying even today. How many of you give your best to God? Time, energy, money, everything. When I was converted, I was an officer in the Indian Navy, and I had great ambitions in that profession. And Jesus came into my life, and I got converted, and I turned around, and the Lord asked me, what's your goal in life now? I said, I want to please Jesus Christ. I want to live the rest of my life pleasing Jesus Christ. If I can remain in the Navy and be a witness for Christ, but wherever you keep me, my goal now is not to become a big man in the world, but to live for Christ, to live for eternity and not for time. And I'm very thankful that at that young age I began to see that our entire life on earth, even if you live 100 years, is such a small portion of eternity. And I said, I want to have an eternity without regret. I'm very thankful that I understood that when I was nearly 20 years old. I hope all of you understand that when Christ comes again and you stand before Him and your whole life is evaluated, will you have no regret, at least from a certain point onwards where you began to take your Christian life seriously? I hope it will be true. That's my aim. My aim is to preach so that I can lead people to have a life without regret when they stand before Christ. So the Lord says, why don't you priests? I wish I could find one priest who would shut the gates and say, we don't want that type of sacrifice. God will not accept it. And He says, as far as I'm concerned, I've rejected you Jewish people. I've tried with you for 1,200 years to be my witnesses, but you become so exclusive, so narrow-minded, so legalistic. You don't realize that I love all of God's people, all of the people in the world. You just think you're the only ones whom God has chosen. There are a lot of Christians like that who think we are the only ones God has chosen. God detests such people. And He says, now I'm telling you what I'm going to do. He tells the Jewish people, you know what's going to happen? Verse 11, I'm setting you people aside. Israel is no longer going to be my chosen nation. But from the rising of the sun to its setting, all the way from the east to the west, all the way from Japan way across to the western side of the world, my name will be great among all the nations. And in every place, not just in Jerusalem and Galilee and Nazareth and all across the world, He was prophesying about a day that was coming in every part of the world, in every country, there will be a pure offering, verse 11, the last part, offered to my name, and my name will be great. Not a large offering, but a pure offering. In every part of the world, I will have people who come and give me not the leftovers of their life, but the very best. That's a pure offering. You know, the contrast here is, instead of giving their best sheep, and the best ox and the best goat, they were giving the sick and the blind and the lame. He says, I reject it. But a day is coming when, unlike you Jewish people who are doing all this, in every part of the world, I'll have a people who will give me their very best, who will not offer to me the leftovers in their life. You would not give a governor the leftovers. You will not invite your governor for a cup of coffee and drink the cup of coffee yourself and give him the dregs. No. But that's exactly what many people are doing to God today. You examine your life, my brother, sister. Ask yourself whether you are better than these Jewish people who are giving the leftovers of their life. Christianity, we can say believers are divided into, in many ways we can divide them, Catholic, Protestant, etc., Pentecostal, non-Pentecostal. But here's another way to divide Christians. Those who give the minimum to God, those who give the maximum to God. And this whole group sitting here can be divided in that way. And you know which category you belong to. I'm not here to divide you, and God knows. You know, when your attitude is, okay, I have to give God something because He did so much for me. And you think in your mind, what is the minimum I have to give to God in terms of time, energy, money, my life? And there are others who say, Lord, I've got only one life. What's the maximum I can do for You to show my gratitude to You for what You did for me on the cross? These are two completely different types of Christians. The first is like these people who offer the blind and the sick and the lame to God, and they think that God is accepting them. They don't realize that God is sick and tired of them. And then there's the other group who say, Lord, I'm not going to be calculating. Do you find yourself very calculating when you give to God? You belong to the first group, the minimum type. Would you treat a loved one like that? I mean, if you really, for example, if you really love your wife and you want to get her a really good gift for her birthday, and you go to the store and say, what's the cheapest thing around here? I'll know what type of relationship you have with your wife. You don't have to tell me anymore. Whereas here's another guy who says, boy, I want to get something that really shows my appreciation for her. Now, don't you wives go home and say, you heard what Brother Zach said today. I'm not here. I'm not preaching something there. I'm just trying to show your relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you think of what is the minimum I have to give to the Lord that shows the quality of your relationship with Jesus Christ? Don't you see that? No wonder your Christian life is so shallow. But the Lord says, I'm going to have a pure offering in every place.